Oh, this is a phenomenal church. This is a phenomenal church. I feel the possibilities of heaven here. I grew up in a church, and the church I grew up in, we used to meet in a circus tent. It didn't matter because God was with us. Young people were making decisions to worship God, pay big prices to worship God, giving up comforts to worship God. Don't stop. Keep pursuing. Keep saying yes to Jesus. Don't look at others and see what God is doing with others. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In 1 month's time, I turned 40 years old. I'm one of them. I remember playing in the young guys' team like it was yesterday before the hamstrings started snapping. I'm one of those older guys. And I come and worship amongst you and my soul gets pulled into a bigger story. Not because of numbers in a room, because young men and women are worshiping Jesus with passion. He is worthy of your praise. Don't stop sweating for Jesus in worship. He's worthy of the breath in your lungs. He is worthy of every bit you can give him. Keep saying yes to Jesus. He's rising up generals for his kingdom in this place. It's not a coincidence that you've come through and that God has navigated leaders, and I'm meeting stories of God's stories in this place. It's for the world. It's not for Port Elizabeth. It's too small. Too small a thing. Where's Zeus? Where are you, buddy? The authority of God is upon your life. There is a call to minister to his people, bring freedom. I'm having fun now. This morning I was a visitor, tonight I'm one of you. Where's Vince? Right in front of me, that's awkward. See, I am turning 40. You sing and my soul begins to see Jesus. And I want to honor you. I'm a worship guy. And I don't know how many hours you've sat in God's presence praising him, how many tears you've cried, how many times, because we get to drink of a well in this place. But I just want to honor you for the gift that you are. And God is going to use you to minister. And he's going to use you like a David to minister to people in high places that will change nations. And I'm really excited for that. One more thing. I haven't been in a room with this many young people for a while, and I can't take the... I sit with young people all the time. I remember being 14 years old walking to a church, and the preacher's name was Rory Dyer. He's very big and very intimidating. And I would see him walk on that side of the hall, and I would literally walk to the other side. And then he'd walk across this side, and I'd walk across to the other side because I felt like I was going to be exposed. Because I had an enemy and I had a loud voice shouting, "You are dirty. You are dirty." Because I was. A young mind in a boarding school encountering things I wasn't prepared for. But I love Jesus. And every week I would come worship and I didn't know whether I could come closer. So I always felt like there was this line. There's the story in 2 Samuel 6 about a priest named Uzzah, and they're carrying the presence of God and it begins to fall, and they had received an instruction, do not touch it. And this priest reaches out and he touches, because in his mind, it was a tragedy and a travesty that the presence of God should touch dirt of this earth. And in that moment, in a story that I've struggled with for years, he gets struck down dead for touching the presence of God. I thought, God, what is this? Until God showed me, and I for me, that never again will the glory of God be stopped from touching the dirt of this earth. And I don't care what dirt you walked in here with, and I don't care what dirt you have in your life. There is Jesus, who is more than enough. And let the guilt and shame fall off. And see what the Father sees in your life today. And do not let the dirt that would settle upon your life stop you from walking into everything God has for you. The times are too important. The kingdom of God story is too important. I've seen too many friends fall along the wayside. There were so many more gifted than me. There were so many more with calls bigger than what God has called me to. And things like dirt attaching itself illegitimately to life have robbed and stolen. Don't let it steal from you. Actually, right now, if you know that there's some illegitimate dirt attaching itself to your life, right now I want to pray for you. Really stand. Stand right now. Jesus left the perfection of heaven for you now. He allowed himself at the hands of his creation to be put on a cross and whipped and beaten and blood poured so that right now the stains and the blemishes can be washed off. There's nothing too much for the blood of Jesus. On a cross hung a man who redefined who I am, and tonight he redefines who you are. Will you raise your hands to him, because it's only from him you can receive right now, Jesus. You are more than enough. I don't care what stories there are to be told here. There's one story that matters. That you walked up that hill. That you got on that cross and you died the death we couldn't die. So that today we can stand free in the presence of our Father and we can run for you, Jesus. I pray lies be silenced now. The lies of the enemy, I don't care whether it was last night, last week, or this morning that the dirt came on. I pray, God, right now let that dirt be washed off. I pray by the blood of Jesus, every single person here is free. Every single person here is washed clean. Every single person is made new in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Oh, Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 I was going to tell you and show you some photos of George, but you'll have to catch up from this morning. They're really good. You want to see them. I want to jump in to tonight because I feel there's a commissioning of God upon lives tonight. It's not exclusively for the young. But there's this one quote that has gripped me, and it says this: I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a kingdom of darkness than in a land flooded with light. I don't want to save my best for heaven. Jesus will get my best because he gives it to me. I want to burn my life for Jesus on this side of eternity. I want to make big decisions that change the world. And I want to call you to do the same. I want to give you permission and something of perspective for that journey, because I believe it's missing too much in the church. My life's ambition since I was a pimple teenager, then someone climbing up a corporate ladder that I thought I had to work really hard to climb, then someone who every Sunday gets into a pulpit to preach. I have one ambition: to praise the name of Jesus. That I should get to do that is overwhelming. We take things for granted. And I want to speak tonight through a simple one story, one Bible story, three kind of life grid challenges, and maybe a challenge. I want to speak about, let's change the world. For years, since I was about 22 years old, I would sign off every email and every SMS. Take over the world. Two, it didn't matter who it was, Christian mates, unchristian mates. Why? Because when I encountered Jesus, I didn't encounter someone safe. And I'm telling you that people and the statistics will tell you that church numbers are diminishing, and it's not because we're known as too wild, too reckless. No, the world thinks we're too safe. And yet everywhere Paul went, there were riots or revival. They didn't even have coffee like we do. And God is calling us to those stories. I have the privilege to remind you that this is not just the privilege of a pastor guy to tell big stories of God. Oh, go Pastor George. It's Pastor George, so I'm going to get behind the vision of our lead pastor. And there is that. But I'm telling you, God has given you vision for your story, for your life, for this time. And as the kingdom of God, we need that. I want to give you license to know that there's a big God out there and he is not sensitive to your sensitivities. He is sensitive to your faith. He wants young men and women making decisions for God, for him, choosing him, to choose him, choose Jesus. And my favorite Bible character is David. Thank you. I like you already. And David was in the spot and he was in a challenging spot. And he's hiding out in a cave, the ultimate man cave. 400 dudes sitting there and it says they are all in debt. Here, let me read about it. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress, sounds like a great team. I'm going to choose a team. In distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him and he became their commander, about 400 men. All of these dudes in debt, discontented, distressed. It's not a great start. But God begins to do something. He begins to work because David's his man and these men get pulled into that story and they get pulled into the story. And I want to tell you about a guy who has ever heard a preach on a guy named Benaniah. Have you? You're a preacher. You're not allowed to. There's no one else. I want to preach and give you a quick insight into this dude because he's a guy who was in debt, discontented and distressed. And God did something phenomenal in his life because he said yes. And he had a grid for life that seemed different to everyone else. See, Daniel seemed to look at the world differently, didn't he? And when the challenges came, he had a different lens. It's like it didn't make sense. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, different lens. And Moses, what were those lenses? What were those big ideas? Let's read about this guy, 2 Samuel 23. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two greatest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian leader had a spear, in his hand, Benaiah went against him with the club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the mighty three warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. I mean, come on. Come on, who doesn't want to do great things for God? Because if you don't, I'm telling you, you haven't met him. And he's that good that you want to do great things for God. Get in his presence. You will want to do crazy things for God. Why did I pull myself into Jesus? Why did I get pulled in? Because I looked at men and women. I saw people taking their families to countries they'd never been to plant churches in lands where they didn't speak the same language. I'm going, that's nuts. I want to do it. Yeah. I saw single ladies go to Eastern European countries to start schools so they could teach the president's children. I want to do it. I remember wrestling the will of God. I was a business guy. There was a path. It was good. I absolutely loved it. And then God began to stir, and I'm going, oh, no. And then an opportunity came, and it was brilliant. I said, yes, I'll do that. But there was a three-week process of financial audits that needed to happen before the deal could go through. And my wife, who knows me as someone who sleeps well, who's pretty peaceful, got a husband who stopped sleeping. I would drive and I would just smash the dashboard because I started to realize that God was revealing something to me that I didn't like. But I'd promised him I would say yes. And I'd given him glory for the journey to that point. And I told everyone I would trust him. And he called me to make a big call that would have implications. And over there sits a young man who's my boy. And when I made the decision, I went to my best mate who's a chartered accountant. You know, accountants, when you say something like, I'm leaving my corporate job, which is pretty cushy, I'm going to go work for the church. In about 3 seconds, they've done the maths. And I could see his accountant mind just going. And you know what his first statement to me was? Because he loves me. But he had a grid. His first statement was, how are you going to send your kids to private school? He was just being honest with the fear, with the reality of life. How are you going to send your kids to private school? And I just said to him, I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. And my kids will pay prices, but they will reap the benefits and the privileges of God's grace in their life. And my greatest desire is they would just know him. I want my kids not to be in a house that speaks faith, but lives faith. I want my kids to know a father who was prepared to pay a big price because he believed in a big God, not a father who had a whole bunch of lip service for a big God, but lived a small life. Maybe that's just me. But when I read about this guy, Benaiah, there was one line that stood up. If we can put that whole scripture, there's just one line that stood up. He also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. That's the only line I saw. It's like everything disappeared. And I just saw, what? He went down into a pit. No one goes down into a pit. We all want to go up. Where are you going? Top of the mountain. No one wants to go down. On a snowy day, the conditions were against him. Our 2 feet and 2 legs don't operate so good in snow. We're like... He jumps down into a pit on a snowy day, an inconvenient time. You see, it's an inconvenient time to trust God with your finances right now. In recession. It's an inconvenient time, maybe in your singleness, to trust God with your time. And I see a young man saying, the privilege of serving. I'm going, thank you, Jesus, for that warrior. Yeah. And on the other side of that obedience, there will be an inheritance. Yeah. Mark my words. Yeah. You kill a lion. And we need young men and women who at the worst of times and the worst of places will kill the worst of enemies and trust God. Yeah. See, the mighty God takes distressed, in debt, discontented, and gives them a gob story. Thank you. And these mighty men did great things. How do you change the world? Well, it starts with your thinking. This guy, Benaiah, saw something, and I promise you, the challenge is with our grids for life. And we get gridlocked. You know that? I don't know if you know that big circle in France where they go around, and eventually everyone gets like, just gets like, poof. You guys don't know what a gridlock is. Just saying. There's no traffic here. On my GPS, there's no red line. It's just green lines. It's like, this is open highway. Hope George didn't get too many fines. But gridlocks, we get stuck and our thinking gets stuck. And I want to speak in terms of 3 grids for our life that I think Benaiah understood. You see, he went down. He went the wrong direction. He had an understanding that brought him into freedom. And I want to give you some grids for life. I want my boy to hear about grids for life, that how does his dad process life? Well, this is number one. I choose the kingdom of God over the kingdom of the church. Relax. I love the church. I love the church. But Jesus came and he flipped everything on his head and everything he spoke about. You see, too many Christians go, thank God it's Friday. Actually, what they're saying is, thank God it's Sunday. I can go to church and be around Christians and they don't swear there. No one's telling me what to do there. No one's shouting at me. No one's demanding sales. But I'm telling you, we were created for Monday. We were created for Tuesday. We were created for Wednesday. And we get in trouble when we think we were made for Sunday. I want to read a quote to you because, yo, changed my life. The church gets in trouble whenever it thinks it's in the church business rather than the kingdom business. In the church business, people are concerned with church activities, religious behavior, and spiritual things. In the kingdom business, people are concerned with kingdom activities, all human behavior, and everything God has made visible and invisible. Kingdom people see human affairs as saturated with spiritual meaning, and it's just with spiritual meaning. Where am I? And kingdom significance. Kingdom people seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. Church people often put church work above concerns of justice, mercy, and truth. Church people think about how to get people into the church. Kingdom people think about how to get the church into the world. Church people worry that the world might change the church. Kingdom people work to see the church change the world. If the church has one great need, it is this: to be set free for the kingdom of God, to be liberated from itself as it has become in order to be itself as God intends. The church must be freed to participate fully in the economy of God. And I read then there's a line. And the line that gripped me was this: church people change the church. Kingdom people change the world. I want to change the world because our God so loved the world, not the church. He so loved the world that he gave his son for me to just look at my energies and efforts and everything on the church only without understanding there is an advancing kingdom story. And sure, the kingdom, the church is the spear. It's beautiful. It's primary. It's plan A fully. And you get the most glorious petrol attendant on a Sunday named Gorgeous George to fill you up. But he's just a petrol attendant so you can go on the journey. I know he told me that. He told me he's just a petrol attendant, so I can call him one. But the kingdom of God is just the realm of God's domain. It's more than. It's everywhere God extends. It's everywhere you put your foot. because you are a son and daughter of the living God. You carry authority on your life in every room you go into. The kingdom of God begins to advance. And every time you walk into your office and there's someone there whose marriage is in a mess, you can trust that change is coming because you are there. And if you walk into a room, atmospheres will change because of who you are. You are a son or daughter of the living God. I'm not just trying to get you excited. I'm trying to change your grid. Because if we're just walking into rooms thinking, I'm no different to yesterday, I'm no different to before I was saved, we're never going to see the change. We're never going to see the lion slayed. We're never going to get in the pit on inconvenient times. God's calling us to bigger stories and his kingdom. And Jesus comes back. And he has 40 days with his disciples. Just 40 days. What does he speak about? Run sheets for church. Worship songs that we should do. I'm being facetious a little bit. But Jesus says this, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. I lived in a world where to do something great for Jesus was to start a life group. And then if you were good at that and good enough, you could lead a church. I'm just telling you, that's the world I grew up in. And it derailed many, many sons of God who were called to God's stories. Why? Because that wasn't their call. And we didn't paint a broad enough picture of the kingdom of God to say, actually, let the artists fly. What a tragedy if an accountant who studies for years, then does articles, goes into a business, and the only thing they can do for God is start a prayer meeting. What a tragedy. Some of you are like, he's lost his rocker. Someone get him off that stage. Stay. I'll pull it back, I promise. No, start prayer meetings and pray. But also be the best darn accountant you can be. Give your strategic mind in the presence of God to serve your bosses who don't smile and don't say thank you and don't give you increases and suck it up, because on the other side, there is a God on the other side who will have his glory when you sow in those moments. And understand that because you are there, companies that are sinking should change. I worked for an amazing multinational company called Unilever, and one of their businesses was Ola ice creams. I was a glorified ice cream salesman. And I encountered a situation where before I got that job, I really wanted to be promoted, but there were a lot of hindrances for me getting that job in a big multinational. And this lady approached me. She said, I want you to be the marketing manager, brand manager in this story. So I was like, that's amazing. What's the catch? She said, we got 18 months to turn this business around. No one knew. She knew as the MD, and she brought me with her to go into that story. So I thought, okay, I like a challenge. And then I processed the job and I thought, hang on, they've just launched a campaign called Seven Deadly Sins. Anyone remember? So now I've got turmoil. I'm a son of God called to build his kingdom. He's made me for situations like this. But he doesn't want me to sell sex. So I sat in front of this lady as a 25-year-old who should be so grateful for any opportunity that was given his way. Like, I should be groveling with thanks. I should be bringing her gifts. I sat in front of her and asked my wife. It was 3 days of, walk past her office. Avoid the conversation. And one day, it felt like on a snowy day, which it doesn't snow in Durban, I went down into a pit, called her office, and I faced a lion. And she's not a lion, amazing lady, but I said, so you know what, I want that job and I think I can turn that around and I think God's given, I just said there's a strategy to turn it around and it doesn't look like selling sex. Will you let me fire the international agency, bring up strategy that will change this business? She looked at me and for no reason, I don't know why she said yes. We pulled a TV ad off air that day. We developed a new TV ad in 1 week. That year was the first year in 11 years of existence Ola made. Broke even. The next year was the first year it made profit, and it's never not made profit since. And I'm not taking all the glory for that. I just want to tell you, God wants to use you. He wants to use you because people get so excited. And I love that everyone celebrates what the preacher does. It's awesome. But if you're settling on this man of God theory that the man of God does the God things, you're missing the point. The sons and daughters of God do the God things because he is a father, and my journey is to him as a father. Find yourself liberated in the love of Jesus. It is that good. And I was going to tell you a whole bunch of stories, another one. I'm a storyteller, sorry. I had a guy named Kai Runing. You can phone him. He's still alive. He's doing well. He was just a junior manager in a company in Durban. And he was in my life group at the time. Now he's a director. And he phoned me one day, said, "Mark, I've just had to do the hardest thing." I said, "What's that?" He said, "No, I've just had to hand 15 breadwinners retrenchment papers, and it's killing me." I said, "What are you going to do about it?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, go pray. Trust God for something." He went and prayed. That was Friday afternoon. Sunday morning before church, 8 o'clock, he phoned me. He said, "Mark, I think we can save the jobs." I'm like, "Well, tell me what happened." "No, I had a dream about how we can save the jobs." I said, "Okay." He says, "What do I do?" I said, "Phone your HR manager and don't start with these four words. I had a dream." Just don't. That worked for Joseph. It won't work for you. You will end up back in the jail. Just say, there is a strategy, because I believe every person wants justice. I honestly do. They might not have the courage to fight for it, but they want to partner with it. You know what? He made that call. Every single one of those jobs was saved. And today, he is a very big Lonnie, an amazing company, and I'm very proud of him. Why? Because when he walked into that meeting, it wasn't the strategy. He walked into that meeting as a son. And the tragedy is when the church fails to see the world as its mission field. It's a tragedy. And church meetings get more focus, and young people, all they want to do is be like George. Be like George, courageous, full of the Spirit of God, full of word, but be yourself. Accountants and teachers and cleaners and stay-home parents and sportsmen, we are all kingdom-advancing sons and daughters of the living God. And I know that I speak for George, that there is a desire to impact the world from this place. You're not building these environments and pioneering and sending people out just to do good church. It's too small a thing. God is far bigger. I am going to skip a whole bunch of points. But one of them that I want to tell is actually there's a big story. It's the world over suburb. And Jesus has this moment of transfiguration with James and John and his mates on the mountain. And they go up and they're spending time together and they receive the glory of God. And what do they come up with? They say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." What are they saying? It is good for us to be here with you, Jesus. Up on the mountain, up in the presence of God, up in the temple. It's good for us to be here. Why? Because we don't have to be amongst the smelly, dirty people worshiping foreign idols. And Jesus says, "Hey guys, we're going to go back down. And I'm coming with you." And as we go together, see, then he sets free a girl from demon possession. The very next story. God's calling you to these stories. He's calling you to spend time in his presence, but then come down and kill some lions. You see, Benaiah didn't settle for comfortable. He just thought, there's a pit, there's a lion, it's my enemy. I worship, and at that time he was serving a king, a Jesus man. He jumps into a pit and kills a lion. What pits are you jumping into? I see a lot of people jumping away from pits. I see a lot of people taking other routes. I see a lot of people blaming politicians and blaming the history and blaming the past and blaming every reason why they shouldn't be in the battle. And I'm telling you, God's men and God's woman's mandate is to get into the pit and slay some lions. I could water it down for you. I could make it more simple and maybe digestible and tangible, but I'm telling you, there are lions to be slayed. Injustice is a lion. Unemployment is a lion. Treatment of disease and medication, okay, it's a lion. And we need men and women understanding, I am a lion slayer because of who I am in God, my Father. I want to speak about one last point, risk over safety. It's time for the church to start trusting God. It's time for the church to start trusting God. Can I encourage you? Throw away the pro and cons lists. Don't look at a job of moving to a nation where the salary is a big pro and write down pros and cons and try and navigate life with pros and cons lists. Can I give you another one? Throw away the open door, closed door theology. It's not Bible. What is Bible is my Father speaks and he's never gone silent and he calls his sons and daughters and he wants to in his presence reveal his will for your life, this good, perfect and pleasing will that might not seem good, perfect and pleasing to you, but it is good, perfect and pleasing for you. The enemy can open a few doors too. When you've walked long enough, you'll realize He's a good doorman. I want to tell you, trust God. Young people, trust God. Oh, economics, I've got to leave this region. I've got to leave this nation. No, trust God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed is the same word used when Moses struck the rock twice in anger and the Lord spoke and said, you will not enter the promised land because you didn't hallow my name. To say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, is to shout before your daily bread, before unforgiveness, to shout it to yourself and to your King. Our Father, my Father, who art in heaven, I trust you. Yeah. It's time for the church to start trusting God again. I thought that was a good point. And I want to tell you, to change this world, it requires our hands on the earth and our eyes in heaven. Too much of the church, our hands are pointed toward heaven and our eyes are on earth. And we're overwhelmed by what we see. And we've got to get back to God's ways, which is in praise, in wonder, in his word. My hands are on earth. So I called my first son Judah, because praise will be a mark of our home. Because God is faithful, because we shouldn't have kids. We shouldn't have kids. And I could give you the doctor stuff, but we shouldn't have kids. And God is faithful. And if you're trusting for God right now, you can trust him. I don't know, whatever that journey looks like, and it'll be different for different. But what's my message today? Jesus spoke and he said in John 20, verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is for the journey of sending. It's not for the entertainment of the church on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit's for Monday. My relationship and my knowledge of him and my reliance on him, the person of the Holy Spirit, only grows when I put myself in pits with lions where no one else will. Why? Because I know who my King is. And I know the battle is won in him. And then I want to remind you, in Psalm 2, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. This is not a threat, it's a promise. My grid has to change from I'm just a lowly, dirty sinner to I'm a son of God. And because of my Father, I have an inheritance, which means the dirt comes off, because when God looks at me, he says, you are perfect, being made holy, is what Hebrews tells me. And he takes us on a journey to walk with him, to trust him. And every time I slip and fall, there's not a father looking down at me going, come on, boy. There's a father going, look at him, he's walking. And we take two steps today and three steps next week. And God is with us in that story. He's with you. You can trust him. Don't hear a preacher trying to motivate you to a journey. Hear a man who's walked, and I promise you, God has been faithful. At 19 years old, my parents lost every single thing they owned. Every single thing they had. I grew up a privileged, young, white kid in suburbia. And my world got rocked. And I wanted to run. I wanted to hide. I wanted to put my trust in other things. And I played rugby overseas. I came back and my mate phoned me, my life group leader, said, we have got a men's camp this weekend. I said, I'm not coming. I can't afford to come. He says, I've already paid for you. I said, no, I'm not coming. I don't want to come. He says, I'm picking you up at 4 o'clock. You are coming. And I went to a moment in time and I sat at the back because I was grumpy with God. And the Spirit of God hit me like I've never felt before. And God gave me a promise. He said, you stay here. You want to run, but you stay in Durban at this time, and I will show you that I'm your father. And it doesn't matter, your father on this earth can't give you good gifts right now. How much more the Father in heaven? You know what happened? No, wait. There's so much more. 2 weeks later, all I had was a 45,000 rand student loan. I had a bank saying, we will not give you any more money, and I had a desire to study more. An Irish unsaved businessman whose daughter I'd become mates with gave me a call, said, come and see me. Thought I was in trouble. It's like, you're trying to think, what did I do? He said, come and see me. In that moment, he said, I don't know why I'm doing this. Whatever you want to study this year. He didn't know my parents had been liquidated. Whatever you want to study, I'll pay for it. I picked the most expensive course. And And I want to tell you, 3 weeks after that camp, I met. And my mate Neville was trying to make his moves there. I told him he's got 3 weeks. He couldn't close the deal. The rest is history. I haven't got where I wanted to get to, but I'm going to ask you one question. I want you to close your eyes and maybe I can invite the band up. That's all right. What is holding you hostage right now? Oh, Mark, I'm too young. Rubbish. David was too young. Oh, Mark, I'm too old. Really? Moses was pretty old. I can give you any answer you want. But the enemy is a hostage taker. And he'll use dirt on the outside or pain on the inside to keep you hostage from counting for the kingdom of God. And you know what we need? We do need more preachers. We do need more church planters. We need business planters who understand when they're starting a business, they're doing it with God and he is in the program with them and he will provide and he is faithful. We need people starting education systems. We need people creating jobs. We need people turning around medical situations in our company where there are resources. We need people jumping into adoption in KZN where they haven't been in adoption for 18 months because of injustice. We need people there who are going to jump into those pits. And I'm telling you, unless we silence the hostage taker of our minds and the grids that come down and keep us gridlocked, we aren't moving. What's holding you hostage right now? Just take a moment. Is it fear? Is it a word someone spoke to you? You failed. Have those pains just warped the grid rather than the word of God fashioning a grid? Saying, actually, I've got you to more. Is it divorce? Or is it the fact you fear so you can't step into a relationship? Is it a father who never showed you that there was more for you and always told you what you wouldn't achieve? I want to tell you about a father. Who's faithful and kind in everything. And he says, there's a distance between my kids and I. It's sin, it's brokenness, it's all these things. I'm going to send my son, Jesus. Jesus, will you go? And Jesus says, I'll go. I'll get in that pit for them, Father. I'll get in that pit of sin and shame and guilt. I'll get in that pit so that they can walk in relationship with you again and know who they are. And the enemy since that day has tried to deceive us and lie to us and warp the grids upon our lives. And I'm telling you, it's time for the church to know who you are. You are a world changer. Oh, I'm just a teacher. No, you're a world changer. I'm an accountant. No, you're a world-changing accountant. No, I'm a student. Well, God has so many possibilities for you. But if the hostage taker has you, you're not going to move. You're not going to jump into that pit. You're not going to go in at inconvenient times like slowy days. And God says, I need an army. It's time for the lies to come off. It's time for the hostage chains to be broken. It's time for you to walk as a son and daughter with confidence and courage and know that he is with you. And you can trust him. If you walk away from one thing tonight, you can trust him. Mark, you don't know what I've seen. No, I've seen prostitutes turn to him and find hope and healing. And their husband preached in my church this morning. You're not too far from God. There's no dirt. There's no dirt that can hold. Silence the hostage taken out. Can we all stand, please? And I'm going to hand over to this ministry team to minister to us. But please don't just get excited because I'm excited. I've been excited since I was born. But there's nothing. There's nothing like a son of daughter, son and daughter of the living God, walking into the mall. Young men, young women, older women, we need you. I speak on behalf of these guys. We need you tomorrow to rise up, silence the hostage taker, say, our Father who art in heaven, we trust you. We trust you more than my pain. I trust you more than the voice that's shouting failure. I trust you more than recession. I trust you. Will you say that? Can you say that with me? Say, I trust you. Actually, what we're going to do, our Father, who art in heaven, I trust you. Our Father, who art in heaven, I trust you. Our Father, who art in heaven, I trust you. Set your sons and daughters free to run, to slay lions, God, I pray. Let courage come. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Begin to sing his praise. Begin to place your trust in him where you haven't trusted him. Silence the lies of the enemy now with praise and exaltation to our King. He is worthy of it all.